If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter number 3. Matthew, chapter number 3, our text will be found in verse 13 down through verse number 17. We'll be preaching this morning for a little while on the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. The baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Matthew, chapter 3, and verse number 13, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I want to preach out of this text today. I don't know that I've ever brought an entire message out of this text. Certainly, if you preach very long, you're going to mention some of these verses. But it's in my heart this morning just to examine these verses of Scripture and talk about the baptism of our Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're grateful this morning for the Word of God. We know, our Father, this morning that You want to help us, our Lord, to understand some things concerning our Father baptism as we look at the baptism of our Lord Jesus. And I pray, Father, this morning that You would speak to our hearts, that You would help us this morning, Lord, to glean truth that would make us want to be a little closer, make us want to live a little more like our Savior, would make us want to carry a burden, Lord, for those that are outside of Christ that don't yet know You. And I pray today, Lord, even as we look at this text, Lord, if there's someone in our midst that doesn't know the Savior, that today, God, You'd speak to their heart. Lord, that they might open their heart, that they might receive Him that gives life, that gives it eternal, Him that forgives sin, Him, Lord, that can help us to make it from earth to heaven. And I pray, Father, today You'll bless Your word now. Bless Your people in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. There's just four things that I want to call your attention to this morning in the text. I hope that it'll be a blessing to you. The first thing I want to call your attention to in the text, I call it the ultimate example. Jesus is setting an example for us in this text. Not only is Jesus setting an example for us, but John is setting an example for us in this text. And I'd like to examine this text for just a few moments today to start with the ultimate example. We have the example of Jesus at this point in His life. He's 30 years old. He's getting ready to begin His earthly ministry. This must be an important truth because our Lord chose to include it in all four Gospels. There's many of the stories in the Gospels that are included in one or two or three. Some are included in all four. And this one is included in all four Gospels. And I believe in this event there's an example of humility. I believe there's an example of obedience. And I believe that God would like for us to learn from the example of Jesus and the example of John in this text. The Bible said, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John." Let me give you some things this morning. There's a verse in Philippians that said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Jesus is a great example of humility. He's a great example. I wondered, it came to my heart and came to my mind. He's humbling himself here, even in this text, to go out and be baptized of John. But I wondered in my mind as I thought, well, you know, the Bible said he humbled himself and he became obedient. And I wondered in my mind, well, what, did it begin here? And the answer immediately was no. And then I wondered in my mind, did it begin when Jesus rose from the right hand of God the Father and began to make his descent to the earth to be born of a virgin? And I thought about it a little while, and the answer was no. You say, preacher, when did this humility begin? It began before the foundation of the world. Because we're going to find that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. In the mind of Jesus, and in the heart of Jesus, in the mind of the Father, in the heart of the Father, beloved, this humility had begun before the world was ever formed. Before mankind was ever created, God knew there would be a need for a Savior. And there was a Savior that would be willing, a Savior that would humble himself, a Savior that would come down to this sin-benighted earth and give his life for you and for me. We have the example of Jesus. The Bible said in Psalm 40 in verse number 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. This is a prophetic prophecy concerning Jesus, our Lord, who delighted to do the will of the Father. The Bible said in Luke 3:21, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, being baptized and praying, the heaven was open. Let me give you something there. You don't find it in the text in Matthew, but the Bible tells us in the book of Luke that Jesus waited till all the others were baptized. Boy, don't that sound just like him? I mean, he didn't step down there to be first, and he didn't want to be in the middle. He knew something special was about to happen, amen? And he wanted everyone to understand in this example what was going on. Charles Spurgeon, he said it implied that Jesus waited till all the other applicants had been baptized. He stepped forward then. He might not seem to be just merely one in the crowd. He rode into Jerusalem upon an ass, whereon yet never a man sat. He lay in a sepulchre where never a man was laid. And so in his baptism, amen, he would be separate from the crowd, amen, because he was the one, beloved, listen, only one Savior, only one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus. He's, listen, we're living in a generation that wants to make him just like us. I want you to know, hallelujah, the idea of Christianity is not making him like us, but making us like him, amen. Hallelujah, this morning, the ultimate example. We see the example of our Lord Jesus. And then we see the example of John. Now I want you to just picture in your mind, John is the one. Listen, he said, there's one coming after me. He said, the shoes, I'm not even worthy to unlatch. Here comes Jesus down to the banks of the Jordan River. John was baptized in a baptism of repentance. He was preparing the way of the Lord. He was telling folks, listen, you need to look for one. He's the Lamb. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And in the example of John, we see great humility. The Bible said here, John forbade him. In other words, John was saying, no, Lord, no, this ain't right. This can't be right, Lord. I don't need to be baptizing you. You need to be baptizing me. I thank God for that spirit, don't you? For that spirit of humility. And Jesus said to John, he said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And after John heard the words of the Lord Jesus, the Bible said, then he suffered him. He allowed it. He went right on with it. I think it's important as we look at this example of Jesus that we understand the humility and the obedience. And I think it's important as we look at the example of John. I'll tell you who the best
Christians in the land are the ones that don't feel like they're worthy to stoop down and unloose the shoes of the darling Son of God. I tell you who the best preachers in the land are the ones that realize they're not worthy to stand behind this sacred desk and open this sacred book and preach this sacred truth. But oh, thank God, listen this morning. In obedience, we must serve the one that loved us and gave himself for us. We're not worthy. No, sir, not in our own right. John knew that. He preached, there come one mightier than I. After me, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I thank God for Jesus, but I thank God for John. What an example John has put forth in this story. John is the one that later would be down in the prison. He later, and some things would begin to go through his mind. He would tell his disciples, go ask Jesus, art thou he, or should we look for another? I tell you, Jesus told him, he said, you just go tell John, the blind see, and the deaf hear, and the lame walk. Raised. I'd have liked to have been in the cell next to John when them disciples come in there and told him. I just believe he kind of looked up with a thrill in his heart and said, that's him. Boys, we ain't got nothing to worry about. That's him. Amen. That's the one that God showed me on that day of his baptism. He is the Son of the living God. That's him. The ultimate example. The second thing that I want to bring to your attention in the message is the ultimate in excellence. Our Lord was perfect. Everything he did. Listen, he's without sin. He's holy. He's harmless. He's separate from sinners. Jesus didn't get baptized because some sin needed to be remitted. Jesus didn't get baptized, beloved, listen, because there was something wrong in his life. You see, if you understand the Bible, he's perfect, he's holy, he's God, incarnate, in the flesh. That's who he is. And beloved, in this story, we see the excellence. And he said here, Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Listen about righteousness right here. I kind of felt foolish when I studied this, that I hadn't seen this before. I really did. I felt foolish. But in the example and in the excellence in the baptism of the Lord Jesus, when we baptize after a while, pastor's going to say something like this, and I believe it's fitting. We baptize this our brother or our sister in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And then pastor's going to say something like this, buried in the likeness of his death. Then he's going to say, raised in the likeness of his resurrection to walk in the newness of life. I tell you, I had never thought about it, but right here, on the day when Jesus steps out onto the stage in his earthly ministry, he's telling the world, I'm about to die, about to be killed, I'm about to be buried, I'm about to be raised, amen. And listen, I believe with all of my heart, even in the picture of his baptism, he's saying righteousness is only going to come one way to this world, and that's through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, the ultimate. He was buried. Oh, beloved, listen. As Spurgeon said, he would set an example to all his disciples that in a figure he would set forth his own sufferings, his own death, his own burial, and his own resurrection in which all righteousness is comprehended. The Bible said in Acts 17:31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. Been a lot of preaching going on lately about what's coming on this world. Wednesday night, 2 weeks ago, we looked as it was in the days of Noah. Last week, we looked at as it was in the days of Lot. I tell you, judgment's coming on this world. You say, preacher, on what authority can you say that? Listen to this verse. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men. How do you know, preacher? In that he raised him from the dead. Just as sure as my friend Jesus was raised from the dead, judgment is coming upon this world that we live in, the ultimate in excellence. You say, preacher, what's the Lord looking for? What's my ticket out of here? What's my ticket to heaven? There's only one, and that's the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what a blessing it is to be saved. He took my sin, put it on him. Took his righteousness and put it on me. I tell you, listen, blessed be God. That's the greatest exchange that's ever been made in this world. Amen. To exchange my filthy rags, my sin, for his righteousness. What a Savior. Where sin did abound, the Word of God said, grace did much more abound. We see the ultimate example, the ultimate in excellence. I want you to look with me, if you will, at the ultimate exaltation. I want you to look at what's fixing to happen here in this text. And Jesus, when he was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. As I read this text this morning, it looks like to me that Jesus saw the Spirit of God, and I believe he did, descending like a dove. But I'll read another text this morning. I believe there was someone else that saw that Spirit descending like a dove and lighting upon him. The Bible said in John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I am come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. I highlighted that. John said, listen, the Spirit didn't just come down and bounce. Honey, the Spirit come down and stayed on him. It abode on him. The Bible said, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, I'm on whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. John said, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. I say, what an exclamation that John would be able to say, I saw it happen. I saw the Spirit of God descend. I saw the Spirit of God abide on him, remain on him, and he is the Son of the living God. You don't need to look for another. Jesus, my friend, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible said, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I read that verse a while ago. Listen to the next verse. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Oh, beloved, there was an exaltation took place that day. Listen, God the Father put his stamp of approval. Are you listening? You say, preacher, how come you're going to heaven? I tell you how come. Because God the Father took that stamp and put it on my soul when I trusted his Son as my Savior and my Lord. He, listen, when he sees me, he doesn't see me like I am. He sees me through the blood and through the righteousness of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God hath given him, highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. He said, preacher, I've never bowed my knee to him. You really ought to give it consideration this morning. Because listen, you will bow. You'll either bow here or you'll bow there. But every knee will bow. The only difference is when you bow here, you can make heaven your home. But if you wait till you bow over there, you'll bow not out of choice. You'll bow because you're made to bow. And beloved, you'll be cast into the region of the damned. And what a sad day that will be, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let me say this. I'm not going to pick on all of them. Let me just lump them all up. All the false religions in the world one day will march by and say that bunch of idiots that we call Christians are right. Jesus is the Lord, and Jesus is the only way out of this world to a wonderful place called heaven. There's the ultimate in exaltation, the ultimate in excellence, the ultimate example. I want to give you this morning in closing. Number four, the Bible said in verse number 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Wonder what John's thinking now. A few minutes ago, John was saying, no, Lord, no. No, I don't need to baptize you. You need to baptize me. But now John hears a voice from heaven and says, hey, this has happened just exactly like I wanted it to happen. And I am so pleased. The Father is letting us know that, beloved, he is exclaiming from heaven, this is my Son. And I am well pleased with what's went on here today. Jesus, the Bible tells us in John 8:29, he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. Jesus said, for I do always those things which please him. There's something that stuck out in my mind, Brother Steve, as I studied this text. The Bible said the Spirit of God abode on him. Jesus, oh hallelujah, he wasn't about to head out in a ministry on this earth apart from the blessed Holy Ghost. You say what you will, honey. We need him. You say, when will we ever see an old-fashioned revival? I tell you when. When we realize we can't do one thing without him. We need him. There's no conviction without him. There's no conversion without him. I say this, there's no pleasing God without him. We have to have him. Jesus would not even set out in his earthly ministry until that Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God. You say, can you explain that? Nope. I just know God showed it to me. Jesus in his earthly ministry, Brother Gary, he needed two things. Listen, he needed the Spirit of God and he needed the Word of God. You say, preacher, where'd you find that? Okay, remember when he fasted 40 days and 40 nights? He was led of the Spirit. Hallelujah, there he is again. Led of the Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Tempted in all points like as we are. Oh, devil, come along. Jesus said, it is written. It is written. It is written. I tell you, in this generation, we can have a revival, but not without the Bible and not without the Holy Ghost. We need the Spirit of the living God to move in our midst. Jesus, in this ultimate exclamation, God was saying, he's my Son. And I'm so pleased. I'm well pleased with him. You know, you wonder why. Listen to me carefully. God will teach you something right here. In Jesus' ministry, often, the Bible even said the devil knew where he went. Everybody knew he had a spot where he went. Brother Joe, to be alone with the Father. He didn't want the disciples around. He didn't want the crowd around. He didn't want those that needed to be healed around. I just wonder how many times, Brother Ralph, that our Father repeated that to His Son. Son, I love you. I'm so pleased with what went on today. I tell you, listen, we might be a better Christian if we just get alone with the Father and let Him whisper in our ear and help us along the way. Amen. Jesus, the one that pleased the Father, the one that always please the Father. Let me say this in closing this morning. Baptism is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But I believe the Spirit of God just whispered to me and said, it's another picture. It's a picture, Brother Steve, of the life that He lived. Because He was baptized. The Spirit of God descended upon Him. The Spirit of God abode upon Him. The Spirit of God, the Bible said, remained upon Him. It's a picture. Then baptism, not only about a picture, but it's about a person. Listen, Jesus was not ashamed of the Father that day. And when you and I are baptized, it's telling the world He lives. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. It's a testimony. The Bible said, whosoever believeth in Him shall not be ashamed. I believe that, honey. I'm ashamed of my past. I'm ashamed of my rotten sin. But I tell you, I'm not ashamed of Him. Not ashamed of the one that loved me and gave Himself for me. And then baptism is about pleasing the Father. The Bible talked about in the book of Romans, walking in the newness of life. I believe that God, when we get saved, that listen, we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And baptism is saying, not only am I not ashamed of Him, but I have a future. I can remember telling the Lord. I was 27 years old when I got saved. I can remember telling the Lord, Lord, I have wasted 27 years of my life. And I remember telling the Lord, God, if you give me 27 more, please help me. Please help me not to waste them, but to spend them for Thee. I tell you, I believe with all my heart, a person that's saved, a person that wants to be baptized, is saying, I don't want to walk like I used to walk. I want to walk in the newness of life. I want to please Him that loved me and gave Himself for me. I don't know about you this morning. I'm sure that I didn't get it all out. But I got enough out of that little text right there that makes me want to shout. Makes me want to live for Him. Makes me want to serve Him. Makes me, Brother Rick, want to tell somebody else about Him. Because the greatest thing I've ever experienced outside of being saved myself was just having a little part and taking a Bible and opening it and pointing somebody else to the Lord. Someone said, a soul winner is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. I don't know about you, but honey, when I met Jesus, I found bread. Amen. The bread of life, amen. What a blessing it is to be saved. Are you saved this morning? Do you see this ultimate example? The ultimate in the excellence that's portrayed here. The ultimate in this exclamation that's made here. And the ultimate in this exaltation. You say, preacher, what happens when a person humbles their heart and they admit that what God said is right? They're a sinner. And they admit He's the Savior. I tell you what happens. Beloved, God highly exalts them. He takes them, my friend, from being in death, dead in trespasses and sin, and puts them right over into life. But let me say this, you ain't seen nothing yet.
You wait till Jesus comes. We go out there, Brother Joe, in them cemeteries, one after another after another. Lay our loved ones down beneath the sod. I tell you, our Lord's coming. And you want to talk about an exaltation, honey? He's going to exalt them. You say, what do you mean, preacher? We're going to be with Him. The soul and the spirit, the moment we leave this world, goes to be with Him. But honey, we're about to have a new body. Praise the Lord. We'll have a new life. He'll change our vile body. Give us a body fashioned like unto the Son of God. Appreciate you coming today. Appreciate you listening in. I want you today to think about the baptism of Jesus as we go into this invitation. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, today, it's my prayer that you'll speak to hearts, and Lord, that we will understand, Lord, today, our need of Thee. Our Father, today, we know that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. And right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that name that's above all others, I pray you'd speak to hearts. I pray, Lord, if there's someone among us, they're burdened down by the guilt. They're burdened down by sin. I pray, Lord, that you'd help them to understand there's one waiting that wants to lift that burden, wants to relieve that burden, wants to forgive that sin, wants to take it away. John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. God, I pray you'd help them to understand that. Help them to understand, Lord, that heaven is a wonderful place that's been prepared for those that have made preparation through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. We must trust Jesus. We must be born again. I pray, Lord, speak to hearts.